from the CBS Bay Area studios. This is KPIX 5 News.
Breaking news now on KPIX 5. Massive delays on BART after a train got stuck. About 200 passengers spent hours in the dark inside the Transbay tube. Good afternoon. I'm Elizabeth Cook. The train is not on the tracks anymore, and the riders are off finally, but the delays are still massive. Here's the latest from BART. They say there is an equipment issue now on the track. The delay is between Embarcadero and West Oakland, both going into San Francisco and going into the East Bay. And there is no Red Line train service between Richmond and Millbrae, and no Green Line service between Berryessa and Daly City. There is, however, single track service in the yellow and blue line through the tube. A shuttle train is now running between the SFO and Millbrae station as well. We showed you this video at the top from some of those passengers just stranded inside. BART says a substation providing electricity to the trains in the tube went offline. The train was stuck a little after 7 o'clock this morning, and it finally got to the West Oakland station at around 9:15. Crowds gathered quickly as the delays only got longer. This is video just before 9 o'clock at the West Oakland station. You see people just waiting outside the train, wondering, what are they going to do? BART riders took on to social media to express their frustrations with the long outage and those delays. We talked to folks at the Embarcadero station.
Upset, angry, because it didn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, who knows, it's BART, you know, it happens every once in a while. I ride every day. So 2 or 3 days a week, we got a few delays. Sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's just a technical problem. It just happens. You have to kind of expect it with BART. You know, they're running, but it's going to be a little bit late this morning.
Now, this is the second major BART delay system-wide this week caused by a problem on the Transbay tube track. Riders had big-time delays Sunday, even though the issue was fixed quickly. And a delay like that could be less of a problem if there was a second Transbay tube. And here's what it might look like. San Francisco Chronicle published BART's initial renderings of a second tube. One plan has a new BART line splitting from Oakland's MacArthur Station, leading to a new transfer station at Jack London Square. Another possibility will connect BART to Salesforce Transit Center in San Francisco and then add a stop in Mission Bay. No firm decisions just yet, but it could be completed by 2040. Turning now to our other top story, the Dow taking a tumble. Ouch, look at that, down 780 points. This all due to recession worries caused by continuing interest rate hikes. Analysts say economic projections from the Federal Reserve show that unemployment could climb next year. Right now, unemployment is at 3.7%. Analysts say it could go up to 4.5 or even up to 5%. That would translate to between 1 and 2 million Americans facing layoffs. We'll get a better signal on those kinds of predictions when the monthly jobs report comes out in early October. Another big concern for many of your budgets, gas prices back on the rise again after months of decline. AAA reports prices are up more than 26 cents in just the last month. Statewide, drivers are paying about $5.58 a gallon. Experts say inventories on the West Coast are at their lowest levels in a decade. Drivers say they're cutting back just to fill up the tank.
I don't go out at all anymore. I mean, I used to be able to go out at least once a week. I can't even do that anymore. So it's a shame.
Some of us don't have, you know, between rent and food and all this, you essentially just, it's hard. It's hard right now.
Really frustrating. AAA says relief will be on the way when the winter fuel blend hits the market, but that's not coming until November. And those inflation relief checks you've been waiting on are going out in just a few weeks. Maybe that'll help a little. The money will be sent out starting October 7th, with the last checks expected to be direct deposited or mailed out by November 14th. But most will get there by the end of next month. Those checks will range from $200 to $1,500. The mega tech conference Dreamforce in San Francisco wrapped up yesterday, and it looks like it was a needed boost for business. Organizers say 150,000 people attended overall, including 40,000 who were here on site. The three-day conference is projected to generate $40 million for San Francisco. The majority of vendors, 85% of them, in fact, participated, were local vendors. The event also employed more than 2,000 local support staff. Businesses already trying to bounce back from the pandemic on San Francisco's Polk Street are dealing with a different issue. The area is seeing an uptick in crime and drug usage. K KPIX 5 Sarah Donchi spoke with the owner who's had enough.
It was an unusually quiet Thursday outside Bonnie Bridges' architecture firm in Lower Polk.
It normally looks like several people on this side of the alley, often associated with the person who deals out of a Chevy.
Normally, Bonnie says, her business off Larkin is the backdrop of a rolling crime scene. Assaults, drug dealing, vandalism, and break-ins. Her place was broken into 3 times in 6 weeks.
I had a steel plate put on here and a steel plate here because they busted this whole thing open and they took a grinder and ground through all the steel bars.
She says the thieves took off with sensitive financial information and tried unsuccessfully to drain her bank accounts. All of this, community organizers say, is part of a disturbing trend.
As efforts have been made to rightly improve conditions in the Tenderloin, things have deteriorated in our neighborhood.
Some city leaders have taken notice.
It's been a game of whack-a-mole. I actually salute the mayor's office and the Department of Homelessness who have cleared the alleys out only to have them come back literally hours later.
Like so many, Bonnie wants help and long-lasting change for the people forced to live on the streets of Lower Polk. But she knows for her, her staff, and fellow neighbors and business owners, the situation has become untenable.
I just spent 20 hours of my work week dealing with a crime situation.
Mr. Peskin told us he's been in communication with both the mayor's office and the San Francisco Police Department to crack down on some of the drug dealing and crime-related issues in that area. We'll send it back to you.
Sarah, thank you. All right, let's switch gears now. The weekend is upon us. A lot of folks anxious to get outside. Let's go to First Alert meteorologist Jessica Burt. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, thanks so much, Liz. You're right. I'm excited to get outside, too. And it's going to be a warm one for us this weekend as high pressure really starts packing in the heat. Daytime highs today are already showing that we're dealing with 90s up in the East Inland Hills, 70s from the coast into the bay. As we extend into the weekend, high pressure will really sandwich us all across the Bay Area and all across California, allowing for a small heat wave on the way. It'll peak as we head into our Saturday forecast, and then we'll slowly start to cool down by Sunday and even into Monday. This depicts this pretty well, though. Take a look at your local area. We're well above average until around Tuesday of next week. Even at that point, we're still dealing with some warmer conditions, but it's going to be dry, too. That's what high pressure does for us. This is the water vapor, or the lack thereof, I should say, as we head into the next couple days. We'll keep you updated here in the Weather Center and talk more about it coming up in full forecast. Liz?
All right, Jess, thank you so much. New video of a youth climate protest in downtown Oakland. Many students gathered at Oscar Grant Plaza before marching through city streets. Their message? Say no to coal and yes to life. They say trains powered by coal pose a huge health issue, especially for people of color. The strike is organized by Youth Versus Apocalypse, a group of youth activists from all over the Bay Area. September is Rail Safety Month. VTA Rail System is carrying out safety enforcement exercises today. Bomb-sniffing canine units and fare inspectors demonstrated their regular practices. The goal is to remind the public to follow all rules around the rail system. VTA officials say people have been injured or even died at the stations in the past few years. A lot of times, the accidents happen because people did not obey rail signals or warnings.
To give folks a chance to understand that crossing against the rail arms or crossing against a red, especially if it's at or near the VTA stations, is very unsafe and not only puts their lives in danger, but those around them as well.
VTA patrol officers say they do give out citations pretty regularly. The safety rules apply for those riding the public transit and also pedestrians and drivers who travel near the rail system. This week marks 9 years since Chico State student Christina Chesterman was hit by a drunk driver while riding her bike. She died 2 days later. Now her memory is living on in a new way in her hometown of Livermore. Here's KPIX5's Katie Nielsen.
A mother's love.
She was such a family person. You know, it just reminds me of how important the family was to her.
You can hear the pride in Sandra Chesterman's voice as she talks about her daughter, Christina. Christina grew up in Livermore with a love of helping people and animals and the color pink.
These are like genuine smiles. You know, she's really happy and she just loved life.
But as Sandra found out, the only emotion more powerful than love is grief. At 21 years old, Christina was a second-year nursing student at Chico State, and on September 22, 2013, as she was riding her bike home from the library, she was hit and killed by a drunk driver.
I don't want people to remember the day that she died. I want people to remember all the days that she lived.
My God, I haven't seen you in the longest time.
That's where Rose Smith comes in.
It seems like forever. Oh, goodness gracious.
She and her late husband, Chuck, owned the ranch behind the Chesterman's house.
Christina came over daily, right after school.
When they sold the land to a developer a year and a half ago, they put one stipulation in place. The street into the neighborhood had to be named after Christina.
She was like a child to me. I want her name to be there. I want it to be forever.
The city of Livermore installed the street sign just last week, Bella Christina Lane, a sign that's visible from Christina's bedroom window, a permanent memorial to a daughter who was taken too soon, and a mother still reeling from an unimaginable loss.
There's a hole in my heart, and that's, it fills it up a little bit and takes that away a little, just to know that her memory will go on.
In Livermore, Katie Nielsen, KPIX 5.
The driver who hit Christina served 7 years in prison for her death. After he got out, he was arrested again on federal drug charges. He will be sentenced next month.